glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, August the 10th. I'm your friend Donna Leland, and today we're going to revisit with our friend John Walsh. He has been a blessing to many people with his telling of the Bible story, stories that we think we know, but when John starts to tell them, he brings out some really amazing details, and I'm so appreciative of that. Thanks so much for joining us on Mark and Friends.
Thank you, Donna. It's great to be here.
Well, the last time we visited, you were getting all geared up for your annual conference, gathering together storytellers from all around the United States right here in central Illinois. And I just want to check in and say, how did that go?
Well, it really went great. Our numbers are still down because of COVID, but we had a great meeting, and the people that came were greatly blessed and equipped. We're kind of setting a new idea for next year, if I could tell you about that a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of us having a central conference where we're encouraging people to come, we're offering our workshops and our speakers and everything to churches where they can have us come in. They can hold a one-day training, or 1 or 2 days. It's really up to them. So we're actually putting together a whole list of workshops and speakers that we have available. And then the churches can look at that and choose what they want and how it would fit into their program. And then we'll simply supply the speakers and the workshops to fit into their situation.
That's amazing. So taking that Bible telling conference to them and letting them tailor make it. That's amazing. Now, if anyone is interested in that and you'd like a little sample of what John's talking about, you can go to his website, BibleTelling.org. It's BibleTelling.org, and you'll see it. It's right there about the conferences. Click on that. You can go back in and listen to past conferences free of charge, and it's all sitting there waiting for you to discover. I think that's such a gift. If someone is interested in learning how to Bible tell, well, it's all there, the resources. John is giving them away, all these past conferences are still available online.
And we'll be coming up with the details. That's not quite there yet. We're putting that together right now with a list of, as I say, it'll be like equal to like 4 days of conferences, which they can choose from to tailor make their own one-day conference.
Well, let's also talk about another amazing resource. I guess when we were chatting last time, I kind of just remembered, that's right, he does a Bible telling website, and then it's accessible to any church. And then I went back on it, and really honestly, John, I was just blown away with the depth of insight and all this free resource that's available. I just really want to encourage anyone who's doing Sunday school work, working with kids, working with teens, this could be the answer to really take your teaching to the next level. And so I went on btstories.com and found so many goodies. Tell us about what we're going to find there.
Yes, well, you know, we have in this area, we have two different websites. We have our BibleTelling.org, which is kind of our website. It's, that's kind of our mothership that tells about us, and we kind of advertise this, that, and the other thing. But then this other one, BT Stories, BT like Bible Telling Stories, BTStories.com, is free of all that. It's just simply the stories, the insights, the maps, everything like that, and it's meant to be a tool that a church can put a link right on their own website, and it gives them all these tools without us being in their face trying to advertise what we do.
That's amazing. So, like, say, I clicked onto David's Dynasty, click on the story told, and that's John or maybe another Bible teacher. Are you always the one on?
Well, they'll always see that I'm there, but then we, for many of the stories, we have other Bible tellers that have told that story in their church or for other reasons, that and they filmed it. And so we have put those on there as well. So they have a choice. They can hear me tell it, or they can watch me tell it, or hear someone else tell it. And so sometimes it's not a teller, but we have people who have written poetry or music about that particular story, and so we will put that in as well.
Then you also have an insights tab, and that's you getting some of that backstory that we so never get, and I think that's really taking you to a deeper level.
Yes, the stories of the Bible assume a lot of knowledge, just like any story does. When we tell a story today, we're assuming that people know certain things, which, of course, they do. And so we don't have to describe, like when we talk about someone pulled into a gas station and filled their car with gas, we're not going to describe what that entails, because we know everyone knows that. So we just keep going. And so it is in the Bible. When these stories are told, it assumed people know certain things, and 2,000, 3,000 years later, we don't know those things.
Mm-mm.
And so it's all available. So we have researched those things, and we give the insights, the backstory, the assumed knowledge.
And it just makes so much more sense. Why, you know, how come that happened, and why were they thinking that? It's some really great insights that John's sharing with you. And then the audio. That's just basically the straight audio of your telling the story, right?
Yes, that's right. We have the audio. So the difference between the telling, the video and the audio is that when I do the video, I'm not reading a script. I'm just simply telling the story.
Mm.
And every time I tell that story, it's a little different because I use different words. But it's the essence of the story. Now, when you listen to the audio, that's me reading the story, reading the text, but it doesn't sound like I am.
And then another, I think with the audio, I had an idea. I love Flannel Graph, and I'm just waiting for it to make its comeback.
That's right.
I think it's enthralling. Well, let's say that there was a Bible Sunday school teacher who maybe doesn't feel comfortable, you know, giving the verbal lesson, but she could use your audio, and she could get out her Flannel Graph and actually put the pieces on the board while you're telling it. And I thought
that might be a
neat way to get our kids back into that time-tested, you know, good old-fashioned Flannel Graph. Betty Lukens, she figured it out, and I love her stuff. So thinking about that as well to be a real asset for the church.
That's right. And, you know, it's amazing that these stories are being translated into many different languages around the world, and they are doing similar things of what you just said. They can go in where the people are not, that they don't have the background, they don't have the training, but they can take this this audio of a translated audio and play it. And I had one missionary from Sierra Leone, Africa, and somehow they decided to use my name, John Walsh, and they said they think it's all one word, John Walsh. And they use that, and he said all, you know, so all across Sierra Leone, people know John Wolf.
Wow. And then you've got this chart, which just breaks it down. I see King David's family tree. And wow, you look at that on a piece of paper and you think, okay, that's kind of messed up. You know, I didn't realize he had quite the entourage of wives, concubines, and yeah, it's really detailed. And then you get down to Solomon, you see Tamar involved, Rehoboam, and just other names that you've heard in the Bible, but you did not know how they fit in. So that's another great resource that can be put up on the whiteboard, and then that could be another asset when it comes to your teaching. So I just was so appreciative, John, of everything that you have really curated. It's like a beautiful museum of God's word and the stories. And then we did mention this last time, which I think needs to be repeated. You went in and actually got all the little pieces of the story. Some's in Kings, some's in First Kings, Esther's in, but you put it all in a timeline.
Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. The And, you know, and in addition to that, which you may not realize, on BT Stories, there's a link, and I don't have it in front of me where it's at, but it gives the overview story. And a lot of times people, we get so taken up with the books of the Bible and the individual chapters and then the verses in the chapters, and which is all good. But somehow we're getting so close to the trees that we don't see the forest. We don't see the overview, the story of the whole Bible. Mm. And so we have given several samples of that. I have one where I tell the whole Bible in 30 minutes. And then I have one where I tell the whole Bible in 10 minutes.
I see it right now. It's Overview Stories. It's sitting right there on Overview Stories.
Yes.
I just found it.
Yeah, I was in a church last Sunday where they asked me to give that. And so as a part of the Sunday morning service, I gave the story of the whole Bible in 10 minutes. And it's just that, and they said, we never heard that before. We never heard the overview story. And so that's very important.
And then just you can add in so much more. How about six false or incomplete world mini stories? And just some other really great insights into the Word of God. And you bring in other scholars. You've got John Walton on here. You've got Tim Mackey. You've got others, Stan Nussbaum, and their works that you link to. So this is a very rich, wonderful source of background information. If you're a Bible storyteller, if you are working in a Sunday school or teaching any kind of a Bible class, this could really enrich what you already have in your resource, in your toolbox.
And also, they can actually get that sent to them on a daily basis. We have the story of the day, which they can get 5 days a week. And in it, it has the story of the day, the video, the audio, the insights, whatever they want, they can just choose. And we have people who watch that story and then look at the insights, and then they open up their scripture and then they read it in the Bible. And they have told us that that has just helped them so much because it takes them through the whole Bible. Mm. And what we say, it's the whole Bible in a year, one story at a time.
Mm. That's just such a gift. I mean, we just don't get those Old Testament stories anymore. They're just really not even shared or just glossed over. Maybe we get a few of the little insights at Christmas time from Micah and other places, but it's nice to hear the whole story given to us.
They're so rich. The people who ignore the Old Testament, they're just rich stories.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a story for us today?
Well, if you'd like to have me tell you a story, I'm always ready to tell. But
I'm ready. We are waiting. That's why we're here. We're here to hear some of that great storytelling that you're known for.
Well, since you mentioned the Old Testament, we might as well go there. There were three nations in the Middle East during the Old Testament. There was Israel in the middle, and Judah in the south, and Syria in the north. And those three small nations were battling it out all the time. And one time, Syria decided to invade Israel. And so he took his army into Israel, and then he set up camp. Then that evening, he called in all of his generals, and he told them exactly what he was going to do. He said, tomorrow we're going to go a certain direction. We're going to do this, and then we will catch the Israelites off guard, and we will defeat them. As soon as he was done talking, Elisha went to the king of Israel and told him those plans. So the next day, when the army went out, Israel was ready, and they won the battle. So that night, the king didn't know how that happened, but he called his generals in again, and he told them exactly, now tomorrow, we're going to do it different. We're going to go here, and we're going to go there, and then we will catch them off guard. Well, as soon as he got done talking, Elisha went to the king of Israel and told him the plan. So the next day, they were ready. Well, that happened a third time, and by that time, the king of Syria finally called his generals in and said, all right, which one of you is a traitor? Which one of you is working for the king of Israel? They said, "Your Majesty, we are all loyal to you. We would never do that. It's not us. It's the prophet, Elisha. He's the one telling the king. He can tell the king what you say even when you talk in your bedroom." "Where is this prophet?" "Oh, he's in a town nearby, the town of Dotham." "Go get him." So they took a group of soldiers and they went to Dotham and they surrounded the town and waited till morning. In the morning, Elisha's servant got up and went outside, and as soon as he got outside, he was shocked. There were the Syrians surrounding the city. He rushed back in and said, "Master, master, we're doomed. The Syrians are here." Elisha looked at him and said, "I don't understand. There's more on our side than their side." Well, the servant looked confused because he knew it was just the two of them. And he said, "Oh, Lord, open his eyes so he can see." So the servant once again stepped outside and he looked, and there in all the mountains around the city were chariots of angels with fiery chariots. So Elisha walked out and he pointed to the Syrians and said, "Be blind." And they all went blind. Then he walked up to the captain of the army and said, I don't know what you're doing here. You're at the wrong city. Here, I will lead you to the right city." So he grabbed a hold of the horse's bridle and led him down, and all the others followed. And they went to Samaria, the capital of Israel. The gates were open, so he just marched the army right inside the city and right to the middle with all of the Israel army surrounding them. And then he said, "Open their eyes." And suddenly they could see. And when they looked around, they were surrounded by Israel's army. The king of Israel said, What should I do with them? Kill them?" Elisha said, No, you didn't defeat them in battle. They're your guest. Set up tables and bring out food and wine and give them a banquet as guest." So that's what the king of Israel did. He brought out tables and put food on it and wine and had them all sit down, and they feasted that day. And then he sent them home, back to their master. When he got back to the king and they told him what all happened, he left Israel and went back to his own country and didn't come back to Israel for many years.
You know, John, that's actually the story that Chris Tomlin based his song, "Whom Shall I Fear?" on. And I love story. Yeah, the angel, the armies, and the ability for God to reach in there and turn the situation around.
Well, to me, I like this story because it's a story of reconciliation. It's a story, you know, there's so many Old Testament stories that end with bloodshed and people dying, and of course that's in the Bible.
Yeah.
But this story right here is a story of hospitality and reconciliation, and the two kings finally coming together on this thing.
The kindness that can turn an entire trajectory of two battling armies around. And I appreciate that. Well, thank you so much, John, for being a part of Mark and Friends. Believe it or not, our time has come to an end. It goes so fast with you. But
it does.
We're going to have you back, and you've got some other beautiful resources that you're going to be able to share with our listeners. Thanks so much for joining.
Thank you.
Shall I fear?
Thanks for listening to Mark and Friends, a ministry of Great News Media and the WLUJ family of stations. Have a great day.